one voice crying in the wilderness.
This is One Voice with Dr. Larry Montgomery. Bible questions and Bible answers to enable the believer to understand the sovereign purpose of God for both His church and His chosen people. This program is recorded live in the auditorium of Parkway Baptist Church in Bristol, Tennessee at 6:30 on Sunday night. We welcome your participation and input. Write us at One Voice, 1253 Volunteer Parkway, Bristol, Tennessee, 37620. Now, One Voice.
The way down the road. A lot of things have transpired that I wondered about at the time. But this book is so, and God does work everything, not a few things, but everything together. And that's a strange way of saying things, but God works things together. Excuse me. And those things work together, turn out to be good on our behalf. Isn't that a marvelous reality?
Yes, sir.
Marvelous. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. What are we speaking of? Anyone remember?
Salvation.
Salvation. I'm convinced that a multitude of people in our Baptist churches, I'm not interested in the other. I don't do a whole lot of preaching in the other churches. But our Baptist churches are filled with people, good meaning people, good doing people who don't know what it is to be saved by the grace of God. If we're not extremely careful, we tolerate that rather than correct it. And it needs to be corrected. For two reasons. It needs to be corrected for their sake, but it needs to be corrected for the church's sake. Because the church lives and breathes with believers. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 11. Paul deals with this same subject that we were speaking of on last week. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now look at this next little verse, just a short verse, isn't it? Therefore, brother, we're debtors. You ever been in debt? If you're a believer, you're a debtor. You're not a debtor to the world. You're a debtor to Christ for what He's done on our behalf. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many, watch the words, as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God's children. We've missed it 1,000 miles down through the years. We've taught people. I think we do a great disservice training children to sing as though they're saved, and they just integrate into the church. Never come to know Christ, just integrate into the church because they've learned how to be Christian. Now, how many of you can agree with that? Let's see a hand. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you saw that. You see that. Because honestly, I've said that in some places that the next thing you're doing, getting ready to duck. I don't know the answer to this. I really don't. I don't know the answers to how we need to train these children, except to keep reminding them that salvation is not a song and salvation is not a motion. Salvation is an interruption, an invasion into our lives by the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. Now, why do I say invasion? Invasion because we are the enemies of God. What does a conqueror do to an enemy? In order to conquer him, he has to invade his land, doesn't he? That's exactly what God does to you and me. He literally invades our lives. Now, most of us would say, oh no, Brother Lay, I invited him. Well, you have a problem. When God performs spiritual surgery on us, we realize we have been invaded from another world. Our walls of fortification have been torn down. God's Holy Ghost has moved into our lives, and we now have been conquered by power from another world.
Amen.
Having been conquered, we now become the servants of the one who conquered us. Our conqueror so loves us that we begin to serve him, not because we're conquered, but because we love him. We love our conqueror. Isn't that a marvelous reality? In the Old Testament economy, it's just the reverse. They're serving because they're afraid of the law. We're serving because royal love has made a change in our lives. And we now are loved, and we now love because love must reciprocate.
Yes.
I wonder if we even understand what I just said. Love must reciprocate. Let me say it to you like this. If love has an object, it will only love so long if that object doesn't return its love. Now that's natural love. But God's love loves us in spite of the fact that we do not return His love, sometimes for years and years. But when God turns His spotlight of love on you and begins to love you, things are going to begin to change in your life, and you're going to begin to love your conqueror.
Amen.
We've talked about several things in this thing of salvation. But salvation is this invasion from the spiritual world into this natural world in which we live. It doesn't change the world around us, but it changes us in the world around us. And the world around us doesn't look like it looked before. Remember, we've already talked about our eyes being opened. Now I want to come tonight to our ears being opened. When God opens our ears, God said to the children of Israel through Moses that they hadn't been given eyes to see and ears to hear. It is imperative that we have eyes to see and ears to hear in this process of God bringing us to Himself. One more time, let me reiterate this reality. There is no such beast as instant salvation. Salvation is the process whereby God turns you around. Doesn't happen instantly. But God opens your eyes. God opens your ears. God gives you a heart of flesh. So you begin to see things, hear things, and feel things you never felt before. Now those things that you once despised become loved by this new nature. Those things you couldn't see before, now you're beginning to see them. Things you couldn't hear before, now you're beginning to hear them. I said to you, dead men can do some things beside stink and rot. A dead man can hear the voice of God. He can feel the touch of God. But in context of where we're speaking at this moment, dead men must hear the voice of God. If God ever speaks to you, you will hear. You recall when God spoke to Saul on the road to Damascus? Who heard? What about all the rest of those folks? They thought it thundered. They didn't hear what was going on. Don't be surprised if you hear something your neighbor doesn't hear. Don't be surprised if you're sitting in a pew and you hear something that the person near you does not hear. You see, thunder is a normal thing because of atmospheric conditions. So they heard a normal thing due to atmospheric conditions. But Paul heard a supernatural voice from another world because an invasion was taking place into his space. Saul had been a persecutor of the church. He had put many in chains and put them in prison because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the road to Damascus, on his way to get other believers and to put them in chains and to cast them in prison, God spoke. He didn't make it to Damascus, not that far. That was the end of the journey for Saul right there on the Damascus road. From there on, he is Paul the Apostle.
Yes.
When God speaks to you, it will be the end of your journey on this natural road and in your natural life. You will now begin a spiritual life. And that spiritual life is entirely different from that natural life you lived before. You'll even begin to wonder where all this came from. What is all this change that's happened in my life? It's happened because you heard something.
Yes.
Amen.
You heard someone.
Yes.
Others around you. I often refer to this experience. I was a 9-year-old boy, Union Baptist Church, Hampton, Tennessee, same place your pastor was saved by the grace of God. Yes. I was in the bass row of the choir, singing bass at 9 years old. I can remember singing in the jug at the house, trying to sing bass, practicing singing bass, singing in the jug. But that night, two of my friends were near me, one on either side. And God invaded that choir that night and spoke to my heart. I do not remember making my way to the altar. I remember being at the altar. I remember the preacher coming and talking with me. I'd already talked to God. Everything had already been settled when he got there. God had already spoke to me. You see, it's not so important you speaking to God. The important thing is that God speaks to you. Now, I've often thought through the years, what a marvelous mercy that was. Both of those men, both of those boys, they actually died as boys in reality. Both of those fellows stepped out to meet God early on in life. And as far as I know, neither one of them were ever saved. Now, I want to tell you something. That humbles me to the nth degree. You see, God could have passed by me just like he passed by them. But he spoke to me that night and saved me by his grace. He doesn't have to do that. He could let every last one of us go to hell and still be God. But God has chosen in his sovereign will to save some of us. Out of a world that's going to hell, God has chosen to call some names and save some of us by his marvelous grace. If God's never spoken your name, if you've never heard from God, I think I'd put my hands over my ears and cup them toward heaven. I'd want to hear from another world. We often refer to Lazarus in the tomb. When Jesus came to that graveyard, he came there with a purpose in mind. That purpose was to glorify God. Let me back up and say it this way. That purpose was to glorify God, not just to raise Lazarus from the dead. He told the disciples before they ever came to town that this was for the glory of God. He even said, I'm glad he did. I said that in the seminary classroom one night, and boy, the eyes got big, and one of the preachers raised his hand and said, it don't say that. I said, do you have a Bible, sir? Would you open it, please, to the 11th chapter, the book of John, and read carefully. Jesus said, I'm glad. For your sakes. You see, Jesus went there with a purpose. Jesus came to this earth with a purpose. And I'm here to tell you that that purpose shall be fulfilled every jot and every tittle, because He is God Almighty, sovereign God Almighty. If God came to this earth in human form in the person of Jesus Christ, and He did, to save sinners, then He's going to save sinners.
Yes. Yes.
But the Scripture specifically states He shall save His people from their sins.
Amen.
Now, if you're one of His people, you ought to clip your heels every once in a while and shout glory. Because there's been an invasion into your space from outer space. God's done something for you that no one else could ever do in saving you by His grace. I would tell you, when God begins to open your ears, the first voice you'll hear is His voice. Not mine, not the pastor, not some soul winner. The first voice you'll hear when God, did you hear my words? When God opens your ears, He only opens them so you can hear Him. There's no other purpose for it. He opens your ears so you can hear Him. It is a horrifying thing to be under the judgment of God and your ears be closed to truth, your eyes be closed to truth, your heart be closed to truth. But God did that to Israel. Did He do that or did He do that? God did that to Israel. Deuteronomy, turn back to Deuteronomy chapter number 29. Let's look at, let me read this to you. Moses called all Israel, said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt and the Pharaoh, all the servants of the land, and the great temptation which their eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day." Deuteronomy 29, verse number 4. God closed the eyes, caused Israel to be deaf, and kept them from being able to perceive what God had done for them. And contrary to all of the things that went on in the children of Israel, when they went into the wilderness, unbelievers, for the most part. And the Hebrew letter said they perished in unbelief. America is perishing tonight in unbelief. Our churches are perishing in unbelief. We are languishing, if you will, in unbelief in America. Even in good churches. Churches where the Word of God is preached and taught, and where gospel preaching and teaching and singing is paramount. There is an epidemic of unbelief in our age.
Yes, sir.
Now the Lord said in the last days there would come a famine. Not a famine of bread, but a famine of hearing the word, the Lord. There's two schools of thought on that. Let me give you both of them. One school of thought says that the reason is because the word is not being preached. For the most part, that is true in our generation. The second one is that the ears will just not hear. People refuse to hear. That is true in our generation. So either way you go on this issue, the truth is before us. I'm convinced that for the most part, we're not hearing the truth preached. This is an oasis. If you want to prove that to yourself, listen to some of these people on the radio. Take a few hours and just listen. And listen to the foolishness, rank foolishness that goes on. So in that light, the truth is not being... And those who approach the truth are belittling the King James Bible, and they've sold out to these other versions. So we're standing right back in the mud hole again. If the spring is polluted, the stream is polluted. Now you can pollute the stream and not pollute the spring. But if the spring is polluted, the stream is polluted. And when you pollute the spring, everything that comes from it is polluted. Hello? So those who approach the truth are guilty of polluting the spring with the new renditions. Oh, but it doesn't make any difference, Brother Larry. But it does make a difference. It does make a difference. If the spring is polluted, then the water is not fit to drink. And if the seed is not pure, then what are we going to have for a crop? Thorns and thistles and weeds and chaff. Tears all about us. Why?
Because it's been sown.
I hope you understand what I'm saying to you. You're awful quiet. Maybe that does mean you're listening. I'm finishing now. Listen. When God opens our ears and we begin to hear the voice from another world, God will speak your name. Now, you're not going to hear it audibly, but just as well, God speaks to our mind and you hear the voice of God. And I am convinced if you've never heard the voice of God, you do not know the Son of God as your personal Savior. You say, oh, but Brother, I am, surely there's some exceptions. No, I don't think so. You hear from another world. You are invaded from another world. Because you would not surrender otherwise. If you would surrender otherwise, there would have been no reason for Jesus Christ to come to this earth as he did, bleed and die and pay the price for our sins. But because we are at enmity with God, because we are the enemy of God, we must be conquered. And once we're conquered, we're his. You'll fall in love with your conqueror. You'll do that. I've got a dozen examples I could give you tonight of this truth. But the very truth is you will fall in love with your conqueror. Remember what I said, love reciprocates. Love reciprocates. How would you like to go through life loving somebody and they never knew it and never responded to it? I'd say there's two things, something wrong with you. First of all, you're stupid. Secondly, you're stupid. If I love somebody, I'm going to tell them I love them. You know why? Because I want that reciprocation. Hello? And by the way, I expect that reciprocation. Now, it may not come in the natural world, but I'll tell you one thing, when God turns his love toward us, oh, glory to God, I'd like to get into 1 Peter for about a week right here. If when God turns his love toward us, we can't help but reciprocate. You just can't help but reciprocate. Let me explain it this way. When the sun shines its light, what does the moon do? When you shine a light into a mirror, what does it do? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your good mercy along the way.
You've just heard One Voice with Dr. Larry Montgomery. Bible questions and Bible answers to enable the believer to understand the sovereign purpose of God for both his church and his chosen people. This program is recorded live in the auditorium of Parkway Baptist Church in Bristol, Tennessee, at 6:30 on Sunday night. We welcome your participation and input. Write us at One Voice, 1253 Volunteer Parkway, Bristol, Tennessee, 37620. That's One Voice, 1253 Volunteer Parkway, Bristol, Tennessee, 37620. Thank you for listening.
is coming is much greater.